Friday, September 12th. Feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. The lesson from Ecclesiasticus chapter 24, verses 23 through 31. As the vine, I have brought forth a pleasant odor, and my flowers are the fruit of honor and riches. I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and of virtue. Come over to me, all ye that desire me, and be filled with my fruits. For my spirit is sweet above honey, and my inheritance above honey and the honeycomb. My memory is unto everlasting generations. They that eat me shall yet hunger, and they that drink me shall yet thirst. He that hearkeneth to me shall not be confounded, and they that work by me shall not sin. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. Haydock Commentary. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and virtue. This puts us in mind of Christ's declaration in John 14 of being the way, the truth, and the life. They that eat me shall yet hunger, and they that drink me shall yet thirst. That is, they shall eat and drink without ever being disgusted. Experience of carnal delights is quite the reverse. While the more grace a person has, the more he desires and receives from God. So says St. Gregory. They that explain me shall have life everlasting, provided his life correspond with his teaching. No occupation can be more glorious. Let thy scriptures be my chaste delights. Let me not be deceived in them, nor deceive others by them. So says St. Augustine. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. At that time, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Who, having heard, was troubled at his saying, and thought with herself what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign in the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How shall this be done, because I know not man? And the angel answering said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the Holy which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that is called barren, because no word shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Haydock Commentary. The word Miriam or Mary is expounded by St. Jerome from different etymologies to signify in Hebrew star of the sea and in Chaldaic lady. Both interpretations admirably well agree with her, who is the glorious queen of heaven, our patroness and star, to direct us in the stormy ocean of this world. St. Bernard says, O you who find yourselves tossed to and fro in this tempestuous life, turn not your eyes away from the brightness of this star, if you would not be overwhelmed in these storms. If the winds of temptations arise, if you fall among the rocks of tribulation, look up to the star, call upon Mary. If you are agitated and hard driven with the surges of pride, ambition, detraction, jealousy, or envy, look up to the star, call upon Mary. If anger, covetousness, or lust beat furiously on the vessel of your soul, look up to the star, call upon Mary. If you are beginning to founder and are just sinking into the gulf of melancholy and despair, think on Mary. In dangers, in distresses, in perplexities, think on Mary, call on Mary. Let her name be never absent from your mouth. From your mouth let it constantly descend into your heart. And that you may obtain the suffrage of her prayers, both in life and death, never depart from the example of her pious conversation. Mary is full of grace by the greatest share of divine graces granted to any creature. This translation, full of grace, approved by the ancient fathers, agrees with the ancient Syriac and Arabic versions. There is no need, therefore, to change it into gracious with Erasmus, or highly favored with the Protestant translators. The Lord is with thee by his interior graces, and now at this moment is about to confer upon thee the highest of all dignities by making thee truly the Mother of God. The Church makes frequent use of these words which were brought by the Archangel from heaven, as well to honor Jesus Christ and his Virgin Mother, because they were the first glad tidings of Christ's incarnation and man's salvation, and they are the very abridgment and sum of the whole Gospel. It may perhaps in the first instance of reflection appear shocking to our ideas that a God should dwell in a human body. But does not the sun emit its rays into all kinds of places without any detriment to its purity? How much more would the Son of Justice, assuming a most pure body, formed of the purest blood of the spotless Virgin, not only remain free from every least stain himself, but even impart additional sanctity to his Virgin Mother? So says St. Thomas Aquinas. Those are here called the house of Jacob, who out of the multitude of the Jews believed in Christ. This is conformable to the text of St. Paul, "All are not Israelites that are of Israel, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed." Romans 9:6. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This clearly shows it was not to be a temporal, but a spiritual and eternal kingdom. How shall this be done? She only asks about the manner, saying, "Because I know not man." This answer, as St. Augustine takes notice, would have been to no purpose had she not made a vow to God to live always as a virgin. Listen to the words of this pure virgin. The angel tells her she shall conceive, but she insists upon her virginity, holding her purity in higher estimation than the promised dignity. So says St. Gregory of Nyssa. She did not doubt the truth of what the angel said, as Calvin impiously maintained, but she wished it might not happen to the prejudice of her vowed virginity. So say St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, Venerable Bede, Theophylactus, and others. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. By the divine power thou shalt bring forth and yet remain always a pure virgin. And therefore also the Holy which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, the second person of the ever-blessed Trinity being united to our human nature, remaining unchangeably the same God and being born of the Virgin Mary. It must needs be true to say that God was born, that God suffered and died for us, and consequently that the Blessed Virgin Mary was truly the Mother of God, though not the Mother of the Godhead. The Catholic Church has declared this since the Council of Ephesus in 431 against the heretic Nestorius. Seek not for natural order in things that transcend nature. You ask, how shall this be done since you know not man? This, your ignorance of man, is the very reason why this will take place within you. For had you not been pure, you never would have been deemed worthy of so great a mystery. Not because marriage is bad, but because virginity is far more excellent. The common Lord of all ought in his birth to have something common with all mankind, and still something different. He was conceived and born in the womb like the rest of mankind, but he differed from them in being born of a virgin. So says St. John Chrysostom. With all modesty and humility of heart and mind, the Blessed Virgin consented to the divine will, and from that moment in her was conceived the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Thus ought the Virgin who brought forth meekness and humility itself show forth an example of the most profound humility. So says St. Ambrose.